So they hear of this, and they dispatch trustworthy Barnabas to check it out. Verse 24 fills it out a little bit. He says, "For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and full of faith." Barnabas was full of the Holy Spirit. What does that mean? That means he was constantly being led by the Holy Spirit. We can assure ourselves he was constantly refreshing himself in what God has said, what God desires from his children, and then he sought to be led by the Spirit in obedience to that very thing. He walked by faith and not by sight. He trusted the Lord. He trusted that the Lord loved him. He trusted that the Lord was for him, and he trusted that the Lord was with him. Many of us need to hear that, because some people are in the water right now and it's creeping up to the nose and you think you're going to go under and you're not going to come up. We walk by faith that the Lord loves us, the Lord is for us, and the Lord is with us. Circumstances do not change that. Circumstances change. God never changes. That's why we root and anchor ourselves in the person of God and his promises. So ultimately, Barnabas could be described as a trustworthy follower of Christ who is worthy of imitating. Imitating in the Church of Jerusalem, imitating in the Church of Antioch, imitating at Bible Baptist Church 2,000 years later. So this must be our goal, brothers and sisters. We must love Christ. We must walk by the Spirit. We must walk by faith. And we must give those around us someone to imitate. If I belong to a pinochle club or whatever it is, I am going to imitate the guy who has what I want and likes the same sports teams that I want. The Christian walk is deeper. I want to be looking for men, and if I'm a woman in particular, I want to be looking for women who love Christ above all things, who walk by the Spirit, they put aside the flesh, and are full of faith. Man, the bullets are flying and they're just bouncing off them because they're full of faith. And you imitate them. Find them and imitate them. And for every person in here, it's our duty for the glory of the Christ who rescued us to become one of those people. That's the essence of discipleship. We want to give people around us, new Christians, immature Christians, look for those who know the Word of God. Look for those whose lives overflow with love for Christ, who trust God and imitate them. So faithful Christ followers. Now we're thinking church here and even us individually. A big part of the stew is people like this. We need to look for them and we need to work towards being them for the sake of others. The fourth ingredient in our wonderful kingdom stew is being faithful and purposeful. Faithful and purposeful. We've touched on one element of faithful, but it's a bit more here. So look at verse 23. When he came and he saw the grace of God. So there's another sign of a trustworthy follower of Christ. He had his eyes open. He had his eyes open to see the grace of God. Do you know who I want to imitate? I want to imitate people who, when they see something, they're looking for God working. They're not complaining. They're like, and they miss it. He's always working. And so Barnabas comes down there full of hope. He didn't come down with his inspector's checklist and he's going to be all cynical. Really? He looks and he sees the grace of God working. And he was glad, so he was rejoicing at God's work. He was rejoicing at seeing other people coming to Christ. And he exhorted them, that's a strong word, he exhorted them to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. So that word faithful in particular seems to talk about a faithfulness to the Lord in light of what is around you. So remember, one of the characteristics of Antioch was its immorality. So you can imagine the people in Jerusalem are hearing that people are coming to Christ in this wickedly immoral place. What's their concern? Oh, that place is going to consume them. The pornography and the ugliness and it's going to consume them. One commentator says this, and I think he captures it. The Jews and the church were very concerned about the immoral context of paganism. And we ought to be concerned for one another, right? There's a lure. When we engage the world, the first thing is we're really used to it because we grew up in it. And some forms of wickedness in our culture, we used to imbibe in before we come to Christ. It becomes a great temptation after we come to Christ. And it's all around us in our culture. The gospel was not only a free gift of salvation, but a call to godliness. So brothers and sisters, that call remains for us today as we live in a growingly immoral culture, constantly pressing upon us. Through TV, through movies, through the internet, through magazine covers at the supermarket checkout, through just things you see in public now. It's very easy to become desensitized to it. That's why we have to constantly be refreshing ourselves through the Word, through prayer, through confession, through the fellowship of the saints. It is very easy to become desensitized and start to think that immorality, the breaking of God's law, is no big deal. So much like Barnabas sees what's happening, gives glory to God for the grace of what's happening, he's exhorting them, be faithful. Realize what's around you. Realize what still remains inside of you and be faithful and be purposeful. We need to remain faithful and purposeful. God has left us here. So it's not like God forgot about us. It's not like we missed the bus to heaven. God left us here for a purpose. We're supposed to be light in the darkness. We're supposed to be ambassadors of King Jesus above any other earthly kingdom. We are supposed to be ambassadors for Christ. Ingredient 4 in a kingdom stew is to be faithful and know our purpose in being faithful. Ingredient 5, it was an outpost. This is talking about Antioch. Antioch, this is what's glorious. Here's this wickedly immoral city, and here comes a kingdom outpost, a church that's proclaiming the gospel, that's saying no to the wickedness around it and is being light, is showing the people who are in chaos. Living life apart from God is chaos. If you try to live your life outside of a relationship with the one who gave you life, it ain't going to go well. You'll try to convince yourself it will. You'll drink till you can't see anymore. You'll do all that crazy stuff trying to numb it, but it ain't going to go well. Christians are supposed to show people what it looks like to live in relationship with the God who created them. So in the middle of this town where there's chaos, there was an outpost of teaching and sending. Look at verse 24, the end of verse 24. And a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. So people are coming to faith, and what did they need? What did the people who were coming to faith need? They didn't need entertainment. They didn't need self-esteem stories to make them a better employee on Tuesday. They needed teaching. You'll be a better employee Tuesday if you've soaked yourself in instruction in God's word. Amen. They need instruction. So what does Barnabas do? He goes looking for Saul. He finds him, and he brings him to Antioch. Then the end of verse 26 says, for a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. That would be a great Sunday school class. Paul and Barnabas. And in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. So they teach, they instruct in the things of the faith. When we're rescued in Christ and we're given a new nature, now that we could actually start to, we have a relationship with God, we have a heart of flesh now, we can start taking instruction from the Lord, we still oftentimes don't know what the Lord wants of us. We don't know what kind of life is pleasing to the Lord, so we have to be instructed in that. It's one of the reasons we teach from the Scriptures every Sunday morning. It's why we have a Sunday school. So if Christians aren't participating in these things, don't be surprised when life just doesn't seem like it ought to seem. I'm in Christ. Why don't I have this peace? Why don't I have this lack of anxiety? What does anger still consume me? Why am I struggling with this besetting sin I just can't shake off? Because you're not making yourself privy to the instruction of God's word. Amen. So they teach. The name Christian is used for the first time. Don't throw something at me, but I've heard people build this incredible story. That's not that major of a thing. Like, in that time, if you followed and associated with somebody, they just kind of added an I-A-N. So think about the followers of Herod were called the Herodians. So the followers of Christ were known as Christians. A good thing, nothing bad. But that's kind of more of a cultural thing, and it has led to being used even up to today. So the followers of Christ are known as Christians. So ingredient number 5, outpost of teaching and sending. So we want to be a place that does these things. Where do I get sending from? Well, if you were to turn a page and look at chapter 13 in your scriptures, we see Paul and Barnabas are sent. So they come, they teach, and they are sent. So we too want to be a place that is known as a teaching church. A teaching church. A church where people can learn the faith deeply from the scriptures. Now, those churches, and again, I don't like standing in a pulpit and saying, well, we're so much better than other churches. I don't think that's profitable at all. I will say something broadly, and you place us wherever you want to place us in that. The number of churches that commit to teaching God's word deeply are getting fewer and fewer. We want to be a place that is known as a teaching church. And as we learn from Acts 13 that I referenced, those who are being taught are then sent. We want to be a church that teaches, trains, and sends. We want to be faithful and purposeful in those things. Our last ingredient. This is how we faithfully participate in the spread of the kingdom, trusting that it is God who ultimately gives the kingdom growth. And then our last, see, you notice I didn't say how many ingredients there were. I didn't want to get your hopes up. Our last kingdom ingredient of this wonderful kingdom stew. I keep moving around because there's wonderfully cold air blowing from here. Oh, man. Let's just take a minute and pray. And this is the one I mentioned when I was talking about the Raceway missions. The Raceway missions. So healthy kingdom individuals that make up healthy kingdom churches are eating of a stew in which one of the ingredients is seeing and participating in the big kingdom picture. Seeing and participating in the big kingdom picture. So look at verse 27. Now in those days, prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch, and one of them named Agabus, that's going to be our boy name if Isabel was a boy, and one of them named Agabus stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there'd be a great famine over all the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the first thing I ask myself when I read something like that is, well, why would God send a prophet to tell them that? I think he answers for us. So the disciples determined, everyone according to his ability, to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. So as we start to move towards elders and plurality in this church, that's a verse I'd camp on. Who do they send it to? Elders. Oh, but that's another sermon for another day. A famine is coming, says one of the prophets from Jerusalem, and the church in Antioch jumps in. They don't say, oh, be warm and filled, I'll pray for you. Although they probably prayed, because they're a faithful church. But they jump in and they help. They give and they send it to Jerusalem to be dispersed by the elders of the church as they saw fit. They saw the need. They saw the need. And they didn't say, hey, that need is for those people over there. They saw the need and they said, there's a need for part of us over there. They saw themselves as part of the same kingdom, part of the same church, and they acted accordingly. And they gave according to their ability. Isn't that interesting? They gave according to their ability, not according to their willingness. Good grief, I'm going to Cancun! I got a little bit! Now, they probably canceled their trip to Cancun and sent it all. Because they so loved Christ, they so loved the kingdom, and they so loved people who were being affected by the gospel. They gave it to the mission. They saw the big picture, not the little picture. Do you know where the little picture always plays out? The little picture always plays out in the mirror right before us. They saw the big picture. And they acted. That's how we want to be. We don't want to become this little self-contained church in Romeoville that is disconnected from God working, God spreading his kingdom all around us. We want to have our eyes open and we want to jump in and we want to participate. So as we get ready to pray, we're going to ask God to reveal what ingredient is missing in us, what ingredient do we feel is missing here. How about a little ingredient recap? You don't get that every Sunday, do you? Gospel focus, trusting in God's power. If you're not trusting in God's power, whose power are you trusting in? Man's. Trustworthy followers of Christ who are worthy of imitation. We want to be one and we want to look for one. Faithful and purposeful in everything we do. As our culture grows more dark, we grow more light. As our culture grows more anti-Christian and even anti-religious, we grow more and more devoted to Christ. We are an outpost of teaching and sending. That takes commitment. So this has to become, this has to be more than just a Sunday morning from 10:30 to 12 thing. And we've got to have our eyes on what God is doing and where God, and it's not always going to be, hey, send money to this or whatever. It might be you need to go and help people who've been tornado ravaged and take a week off work. Well, we don't know what it is, but the key is we got to see the big picture and participate in it. So as we pray, the first thing we ask ourselves is, are you in the kingdom? Can you even make the stew? If you You stand before God today. You stand before God today. I read a message from a pastor friend of mine who said, yesterday, I spent 3 hours. I spent 3 hours making kingdom plans with this fellow pastor. He's going to come in and we're going to do this and that. And he died that night in a car accident. That's how quick it happens. So if that were to happen, what would happen when you stand before God? Are you going to try to give an account based on who you are and your works? Or are you going to plead the righteous name of Christ in your place? And the second thing is, if that is you, if you're able to make the stew because you are in Christ, what ingredients do you need more of in your stew? And how do we get more of those ingredients? How do we get more of those ingredients? Well, it starts with a love for Christ. It starts with a love for Christ and that prioritizes Christ. It starts with loving and serving others. It starts with a devotion to Christ's church. There's some very tangible ways that happens. But ask the Spirit to reveal which ingredient are you most in need of. Consider those things and join me in prayer. Father, thank you for our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for the way the kingdom has spread. Thank you for Bible Baptist Church, Lord. Thank you for this being a place where, Father, we desire to hear from you through your word. Father, make us a place that is just rich in those ingredients and any others that I may have missed as a mere man, Father, but you think we need. Father, make us a place that is a rich kingdom stew. Father, we so want our Christ to be glorified in and through this church, through the individuals of this church. Father, we have so many things in this world. We have so many things in our own flesh that are pulling at us, trying to steal our devotion away from Christ. Father, by your Spirit, for your glory and for our good, Lord, I pray that you would fix our eyes and our devotion upon the Christ who loves us and the Christ who came to save us. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.